The 2022 season for the Indianapolis Colts is finally over, and the boys here at Horseshoe Huddle are here to break it all down. So welcome to a special episode of the Horseshoe Huddle podcast brought to you by FanNation at SI.com. My name is Andrew Moore, and I'm joined by all of my colleagues at SI.com, FanNation, Horseshoe Huddle, Drake Wally, Jake Arthur, Zach Hicks. We're all in the building tonight, and fellas, we made it. We survived that wretched season. And I think we were all ready for it to be over those last few weeks. But it seems like we haven't even gotten a break because we've had a Jeff Saturday press conference. We've had a Chris Ballard press conference. Jim Irsay is always in the back of our heads. But hey, it's going to be a fun off season. And I think all you guys out there listening, watching at home, you want to be tuned into Horseshoe Huddle because we've got everything covered. So like I say at the beginning of every episode, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at ColtsOnFN. Like us on Facebook, Horseshoe Huddle. Subscribe to that YouTube channel and hit that bell so you know when we're going live. But let's get to it. Guys, as the season ended, Drake, I'm going to start with you here. I think, and we've talked about this on the show, I guess as the season has ended and over these last couple days when we hear from Chris Ballard and Jeff Saturday, what are your thoughts or how do you feel about this Colts team heading into the offseason? Do you think the Colts have a chance to really kill it this offseason? Or are you more on the sideline or on the side of, man, this could go really, really bad and I think it will? Where do you stand, Drake?
Well, I mean, it's all going to come down to Chris Ballard's press conference. If those promises and all those lofty expectations he set come true, you could have a 7-8, maybe even 9-win season, you know, and anything can happen. Of course, a lot of people thought this was going to be a 10 plus win team, clearly wrong. But I honestly think get the right quarterback, build around that quarterback. I think the first year might be a little bit rough, but it also depends heavily on who they get as a coach. You got to get somebody who's going to develop a young quarterback, and personally I think it should be an offensive guy.
Zach, I know we've talked about, you've got a series going on the site about all of these candidates, and I know you're a big fan of some of the guys from outside the locker or outside the team. What do you think of this these coaching candidates that have been assembled, I should say, so far, or have the Colts have at least requested them? Do you think it's a good group? Are you surprised that the Colts were able to attract these kind of guys? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of things to talk about with this whole coaching search, where yes, there was a lot of panic over, oh, the Jim Irsay meddling could hurt their coaching search quite a bit. And I know I was at the forefront of a lot of that. You know, I did talk about that quite a bit on how this really could hurt the Colts. And while we haven't seen it as of right now, they are requesting these interviews. They're still being granted these interviews. I do still think it's a little early to say that didn't hurt the Colts. And, you know, there's no Jim Harbaugh interview yet. There's no DeMeco Ryans interview. So who knows what's going on truly behind the scenes with all that stuff there. But so far, it looks like, obviously, this is a Chris Ballard run search. You can tell by the type of guys they're going for. Yes, there are some rah-rah guys like Aaron Glenn and Raheem Morris. Those are very, very rah-rah guys and old-school football coaches. Bubba Ventrone kind of falls into that as well. But you see those new-age analytics-driven coordinators who are like the top of the game at what they do. You know, you got Ben Johnson with the Lions, one of the best young offensive coordinators in the league. Shane Steichen with the Eagles, just a great young offensive coordinator. And Ejiro Evero for the Denver Broncos, just a phenomenal defensive coach who has just probably the most impressive resume of all these guys here. You are seeing some of those top candidates that are at the top of what they do, at least interviewing for this job. Again, we don't know who's going to be offered, if they're going to take the interview and turn it down. Who knows what's actually going to happen these next couple weeks, but you have to like the approach that they're going right now and how they are kind of aiming for a lot of these top candidates and getting interviews with these top candidates. And I think a lot of things did benefit them in this cycle. Again, only 5 openings this year. Usually it's around 7, 8, 9. So having only 5 openings has just been great for the Colts. And hopefully they can land one of these top guys like Ben Johnson, like Shane Steichen, like Ejiro Evero. Like any of those guys would just be phenomenal hires for the Colts.
Let's get the fifth member of this show in Stats, Matt. About time the whole crew got together. And then, of course, we got a shout out to Colts loyalist saying it's good to see all five of you guys at the same time. Guess we can only look at four, but I can't forget Stats, Matt. So even the audience knows that Stats, Matt's a vital part of this. And here's an interesting point by Wyatt Law, if I can find it here. Ballard's coaching search seems to be moving along briskly. Doubt it takes until mid-February. The thing is about that is, I mean, if they settle on somebody before then, I guess great, as long as it's the right guy. And Jake, you were there on Tuesday when Ballard was speaking to everybody. He didn't really seem like he was in that big of a rush to select who this coach was going to be. Did you get that sense, or what was your overall feel from Ballard about the head coaching search?
Yeah, no, I don't think they're in any huge rush to get this done. Like, I think they have their vision for it, but they're not going to rush anything. Now, if it goes into February, you know, that's possible because some of these guys could still be coaching their teams. You know, you got playoff teams in there. What's that like? We don't know this year. But no, it's they're not going to be in any rush for that. Chris Ballard has very rarely ever made a hasty decision. I think if they fire something off quickly and we think that it's probably, you know, jumping the gun, you know, it's coming from the top probably. But no, this list of candidates and the timing and everything, it definitely seems very measured and Chris Ballard-esque. So no complaints so far. And honestly, if it goes into February, that's fine as long as they get the right guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As long as they get the right guy here. And that's the big thing. I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit, is Jim Irsay's involvement in all of this. And a lot of people point to what he's done this year. I mean, with firing Frank Reich in the middle of the season and hiring Jeff Saturday off the ESPN set. But Jim Irsay's meddling has gone, I mean, it's gone on for a couple of years now. I mean, we talk about him saying, like, no matter what, get rid of Carson Wentz. Now, I'm not saying Carson Wentz should have stayed here by any means, but him kind of injecting himself into that decision, then him forcing Frank Reich to bench Matt Ryan in favor of Sam Ellinger. And I thought Mo Alie Cox said something that was very interesting this week. Mo Alie Cox was talking about how when you're he's gone through like 8-9 different quarterbacks and three alone this year, each quarterback, it's hard to really adjust on the fly like that because each quarterback wants you to run a route a certain way. They're going to put the ball in a certain place on every single route. Each quarterback has a different cadence that you have to get set to. When you have all those changes on top of one another, combined with a new coach, you're down coaches on the staff. This thing was destined to fail from the very beginning, and it could be a blessing in disguise because maybe now the Colts get the right head coach, they get the right quarterback. But at the same time, Irsay has to think, because he's been around the league 50 years, whatever it's been, he has to know that Saturday can't be the guy moving forward, whoever the coaching candidate is. I say that with some optimism, but Zach, what do you think? Do you think that has to be going through his mind right now, or do you think that Saturday still is a top candidate for Irsay?
I'm not here to speculate on what's going through Jim Irsay's mind. I don't know, man. I mean, I would have never thought that he would take an ESPN analyst to be the interim head coach over guys like Bubba Ventrone and Gus Bradley. I never thought that we would get to the point where like everything that was going on in the introductory press conference with Jeff Saturday, and we got all of just the ego flowing out and just the insane confidence for that move. Mm-hmm. I never thought we would get the victory lapping after beating the Las Vegas Raiders. I never thought we would get praising the team for barely losing to the Eagles the next week. I never thought we'd get any of that there, Andrew. So it's hard for me to get into the mind of Jim Irsay, but what I do know is, I think the beat writers for Indy lately have just been killing it. I think they've been doing a great job of just putting this out there. Zach Kiefer said a lot about this. Stephen Holder, Nate Atkins, they've all said this. If the head coach is Jeff Saturday next year, we know who made that call. We know 100% Chris Ballard had no part in that, because Chris Ballard is 100% not going with Jeff Saturday. And I mean, Jeff Saturday just has nothing on any of these other candidates. Even Aaron Glenn, who is probably the weakest of these candidates, is miles ahead as a candidate over Jeff Saturday. There is nothing positive about hiring Jeff Saturday as the full-time head coach. And we've seen it. I mean, he's arguably the worst interim head coach we've seen in the NFL of the 2000s, you know, since 2000. And I'm not saying he had a chance to succeed. He really had no chance of success whatsoever. But that doesn't excuse the fact that he was terrible, just absolutely terrible in every regard. Obviously I've made my opinion put out there quite a bit about Jeff Saturday as a head coach and why he shouldn't be. But I really, really do hope Jim Irsay just let Chris Ballard have this. And I hope Chris Ballard can convince him on a Ben Johnson, a Shane Steichen, Azure Evero, Raheem Morris, because those are just real candidates. Those are coaches that can actually do something positive in this league. If Jeff Saturday is the head coach next season, that 2024 first-round pick for the Colts becomes the most valuable pick in a long, long time in trade discussions, because that is going to be the first overall pick in a Caleb Williams draft, which maybe that's not a bad thing, but that's how awful Jeff Saturday is the head coach and why I do not want him back next year.
It would be pretty wild to see. I mean, I don't know if we'd be able to survive a full 17 games with a Jeff Saturday led team, but we'd certainly try. And Stats Matt makes a good point. Maybe it took the carousel to open some eyes in the building. I don't know if it took was more like multiple pairs of eyes or if it was just one set of eyes in that building that needed to be open, because we heard that Chris Ballard had his reservations. We knew that the Pete Ward, the CEO of the Colts or COO of the Colts, knew or had some reservations as well, but Irsay had his mind set on it, and ultimately it's landed the Colts where they are, and it's landed Chris Ballard into pretty much having to fall on the sword, which he has fingerprints are all over this. He definitely needs some help in the roster building department and other areas. But Drake, do you think Chris Ballard, from what he has seen this year and for what he knows about what would happen if this Colts team doesn't turn around, how likely do you think it is that Chris Ballard adjusts how he maybe looks at free agency or looks at the draft, looks at premium positions? What do you think?
I mean, if we're talking about the 2022 season and a combination of that presser, I mean, I would say absolutely. I would say that he definitely feels the sting. He feels the heat. You know, I know that he's all the way, I believe, through 2026, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, who knows if he's even going to make it that long, you know? And so this head coaching, kind of going back to what Zach said, I mean, good Lord, if for some reason it is Jeff Saturday, everyone that is a Colt fan wants to love Saturday. I get it, but he's just not a coach. And I had somebody, you know, say, well, it goes hand in hand playing and coaching in some ways in the same ideologies, but good Lord, you ask, you know, just any random, you know, even the greatest player of all time, go coach an NFL team of what you used to play as. I mean, that is asking a lot, especially after you fire your head coach over the phone, you place a guy who's never done this off of the set of ESPN, go fix this team. The offensive line got better, which I'll end with this. And it's actually is something Zach said in one of his Locked On's previous episodes, is that if you're going to put him anywhere on the staff, put him at offensive line coach. I mean, he knows the offensive line. The offensive line improved in the latter half of the season. It's about the only dang thing that did. If there's anywhere, put him there.
Yeah, I mean, if he would want that job, that's the thing too, because he said his presser on Monday, he said, I'll hire an offensive coordinator, I'll hire a defensive coordinator, I'll hire a special teams coordinator, and then I will empower them. He really didn't mention wanting to even be that kind of coach, whether it's an assistant or a coordinator. And then we've got some breaking news to get out here on the show, as Jim Irsay just tweeted out that the Indianapolis Colts finished up an interview with Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy for the head coaching position. Zach's face, I think we could tell what he's thinking. Jake, what are you thinking about this? We'll kind of go around from Jake to Zach to Drake. What are you thinking about the Colts and Eric Bieniemy as a possible combination?
Okay, so he's been a hot name the last few years, obviously, with the success of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and such. But I think there's reasons he's interviewed for these jobs and hasn't got one yet. There's been former players that have come out and been like, you know, LeSean McCoy is one who he's been kind of loud. But, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the greatest relationship with players. Benjamin Albright has come out and kind of laid out some stuff from Bieniemy's past that I think gives teams pause as well. I don't know, man. I think just reading the tea leaves with all these things and the fact he hasn't got a job yet, it kind of seems like a lot of this is just on the coattails of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So there's got to, again, there's got to be reasons he hasn't got a head coaching job yet. He's what is this, 4 years now that he's been named in the cycles and hasn't got it. I'm cool with the other candidates the Colts have got, but I don't know about this one.
Yeah, I think I would put him below Aaron Glenn on my wish list. I think it would just go Aaron Glenn, then Bieniemy, and then Andrew, and then Jeff Saturday down there.
Yeah, I'm pretty good on the sticks for that Madden. So, hey, give me a shot.
Literally anybody, like anybody who is at, like anything right there, and then Jeff Saturday. Bieniemy. Look, Bieniemy, I don't want to come in here and say a bunch of bad things about him because he is a good NFL coach. He's been a part of that Chiefs success the last couple seasons. Very much a rah-rah guy, a pure football guy, relationships to Chris Ballard, probably exactly what Jim Irsay wants in the next head coach too, which I'm thinking is probably why this interview got fast-tracked and kind of slid under our noses a little bit, because I'm sure Jim Irsay was like excited to call him and stuff like that. But I would probably go some other candidates, but you know what? I take Bieniemy over Jeff Saturday, so that's fine. I'm cool with it.
I agree with both of you guys, and then I think that when you have a new quarterback that's coming into a team like this that had arguably the worst season we've seen. I mean, in 2011 you expected it to be terrible, you know. So this needs a coach that, yeah, maybe a little bit of rah rah, but you also can keep a team together. You can encourage a player. When you ask a player, you know, what do you think? You don't hear negative stuff. I mean, Frank Reich got canned, and there, you ask every player in the Colts organization, there's probably not one bad thing you're going to hear. So I agree. I think that he is definitely under Glenn for me too. And you know, good Lord, when you have an offensive mind like Andy Reid, who did what he did with the Eagles, then you turn around and do it with Smith, then you turn around and do it with Mahomes, you give Andy Reid anybody and he's going to make the offensive coordinator look good.
Yeah, I would agree there. And it seems like people in the chat are the same. Stats Matt says, I'll be fine passing on Eric B. Colts Loyalist says, I hope it was a short interview. that could be. And then Wyatt Law says that Zoom makes the process a lot easier. So, yeah, again, the Chiefs are on a bye, so it is easy for to do that. Circle One Sports says, last time Ballard put trust in the Chiefs connection didn't pan out too well with Eric Fisher. That is true, too. But I guess it just shows how extensive they really are being. They're going to all areas. I mean, we're talking about guys that are on the staff, and Bubba Ventrone has got an interview. Then we're talking about guys from the Lions. We know that Chris Ballard likes Dan Campbell. He interviewed him for the Colts job back in 2018. So we got two coordinators from that staff. Shane Steichen from the Eagles. That Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni connection right there. And you talk about the guys like Evero out there, who's a young up-and-coming guy, but he's had success pretty much wherever he's gone, and the way he was able to really use that defense in Denver despite everything that was going on, that's impressive. But I agree with you, Drake, that it needs to be a guy that can get, not only just not necessarily doesn't need to be a rah-rah guy, but it needs to be somebody that gets the best out of the players and puts the players in the best position to win. I mean, when you hear when Matt Ryan was asked what Jeff Saturday brought to this team, he said he's a good leader. He comes to work. But you hear these leaders always say that, but you never really heard the players say that Jeff Saturday would put them in the best position to win. Or anything like that. And that was obvious down the stretch because they literally lost 7 straight games. Do I put that all on Saturday? No. I mean, the players need to play up to their standards. The assistant coaches need to do their job. But at the same time, you can kind of tell what the players' true feelings are about Jeff Saturday. Yeah, he's a good guy and they don't want to disrespect him, but should he really be the head coach of this team? Probably not. So, and that's going to be up to Chris Ballard to really dig into these candidates, find the best one. But again, ultimately Irsay is going to have to make that decision. And from what Zach Kiefer reported earlier this week, that Jeff Saturday has kind of cooled off in the building. Even Irsay knows that it would be a tough sell to this fan base. And it really would be seeing the people at Lucas Oil Stadium last weekend and how they were just done. They were just done with Jeff Saturday and this team. I don't know how you can sell that to a fan base going into 2023 when it should be all about moving forward with a new quarterback, with a new head coach, and trying to start a new era here in Indianapolis. So it's just interesting to see how this is going to play out over the next few weeks to a month as far as the head coaching search is concerned.
I think new is exactly right. It's exactly what they should be selling to the fan base is, you know, yes, Jeff Saturday is a new head coach if they go that way, but it's still the same old stale holding on to the glory days type of stuff. Get something fresh and new in there, new quarterback, young, new head coach. Hopefully, they don't have to be young, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you're just feeding them more of the same crap that they're not going to be able to trust necessarily.
Yeah, and I was going to say that it would, and I actually wrote about this, is that it's a shame that Saturday in his press conference, well, number one, that he really didn't take any accountability, but two, I really wish he would accept a lesser position because I stand by it. Offensive line, it's his thing. It's what he was good at. He was the general of the offensive line in his glory days. And I get that the players don't want to look at the Ring of Honor and see Jeff Saturday and disrespect him in any way. I totally understand that. But, you know, at the end of the day, kind of like Jay said, man, let's get an injection of something new, something that's, in my opinion, offensive and something that's going to, you know, take those receivers that are still young and very capable and only going to get better, get the ball downfield to them and let's see what they can do.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to look for. And what this team needs is it needs not necessarily a total rebuild, I would say, because there's good pieces on this team. I mean, you look at DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, who played their butts off all year long and dominated the interior. You look at guys like Zaire Franklin, who all he did was go out and ball every single week. You look at guys like Michael Pittman, who really tried at his best. Jonathan Taylor was fighting through injuries all year. I mean, Rodney McLeod. Stephon Gilmore, who came here to go to the playoffs and be a contender, and he was still out there giving it his all. There's guys on this team that and I don't think it kind of gets to my next point. I don't think the effort was anything that could be judged or really criticized. The effort was there. It just this team found ways to lose, and with the margin of error so small in the NFL. The good teams find ways to win games and the bad teams find ways to lose games. I know it's cliche, but that's what the Colts were. No matter what the situation was, it felt like they could always lose a game. And that was the case in Minnesota. They're up 33-0 and then they end up losing. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And I wrote about this too, that this is the most important offseason in 25 years for this team. It really is. With as far as the coach that needs to be hired, the quarterback that needs to be selected, and as far as Irsay, what he's going to do, if he's going to take a step back like he did during the Bill Polian era and let his guys that he hired actually do their jobs, or if he's going to start going to the way of his father and meddle in every big decision. But I think after we've talked about the head coach ad nauseum, let's move on to the next big decision of this offseason, quarterback. And we're going to dissect this like crazy over the next few months. But I think we're all in agreement that it needs to be a rookie. We're done with the retread veteran quarterbacks. And it's got to be somebody that you can help build from the ground up and become the face of your franchise. So Drake, what as we head into the quarterback discussion here, from your perspective, what traits do you think that this team is going to be looking for in their next signal caller?
Well, first and foremost is mobility. You got to have somebody that can actually escape the pocket and isn't afraid to run. Awareness, definitely need somebody that's going to sense that pressure, because you would see Matt Ryan at times almost just take the ball and say, the hell with it, just hold it and just take those hits. You got to have somebody that's got the pressure. And then, you know, somebody that can actually put some zip on the ball. Ryan's arm was a little bit raggy there at the end. And just somebody who can get out of the pocket, somebody who has pocket awareness, and somebody who can actually put some zip on the ball and get it downfield.
Honestly, I just think they need someone who's good at football. That's all I don't know. That's all I really got to say about that. I just think they need somebody who can, you know, be good at playing quarterback. No, but honestly, I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways you could go here. You know, I'm not really sold on one specific type, but I just know they need to get young at this quarterback. Not Bryce Young. They just need to go younger at the quarterback. So just any one of these top four guys with that top four pick. I'm sorry, I keep reading the comments here, and that B-ball guy is a fascinating conversation. But anyway, yeah, they need to go young at this quarterback position. They need to get their guy of the present and the future, you know, not just the guy for 1 year, not just the guy for a year or two. They need to get a guy for the next 10, the next 15 years. I'm not saying that these guys are guaranteed hits in this class, but it's finally time to take that chance. I don't care if it's a running quarterback who has to learn how to throw. I don't care if it's a throwing quarterback who can't run. I don't care if it's a hybrid type. Get someone in here. Get a good whatever mind that you want at head coach, and get in a good offensive coordinator or play caller, and just figure it out. You know, like let's get this thing rolling. Even if it blows up in your face, take that shot. That's all I care about. So, yeah, I'm excited about them finally taking a shot on one of these quarterbacks. And honestly, any of these top four quarterbacks – I can easily be talked into, and I can see the upside in every one of them.
It's going to be interesting, especially when you factor in that all these quarterbacks are really so different. I mean, Drake kind of talked about the mobility aspect, and Zach, I know you've written about this as well, that's just kind of where the league is going, is that the days of the pocket passer, they're not really here anymore. I mean, yeah, you can win with a pocket passer in the right situation. I mean, Tom Brady's still out there winning games. Tom Brady's also he's the only one that can do that. But you know what I mean? Like, the quarterbacks need to be able to create when the pocket breaks down, when there's chaos around them. And we're seeing that more and more. The best quarterbacks in the NFL are the ones that are doing that. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. You just see, and all those guys are in the AFC as well, which it's tough when you're the Colts going up in that conference. As Stats Matt kind of says, we were kind of talking about this before the show. My opinion is no chance Young is Ballard's choice. And we can talk about that too. Is Chris Ballard, I mean, he likes to go after bigger guys at these positions. Jake, do you think that if the Colts are staring, whether it's at four or whether it's one, if Bryce Young is there, do you think the Colts take him?
I really don't know, man, because, you know, again, like we've discussed before this, there's a pretty good chance it's CJ Stroud and Will Levis are one and two right there on their board, just because of size, arm talent. You know, there's a lot of things there. And Bryce Young, that's a risky pick. Is he the most talented quarterback with the highest ceiling in this draft? Yeah, but he might be the riskiest one when it comes to expectations because of his size. You know, you invest the number one pick or something. Let's say they go up and take him. Let's see what Tom's got to say.
Our good old friend Tom Brady saying, that's right, I'm still winning games. Bucks are going to the Super Bowl. Get out of here, Tom.
In the playoffs. Nice to have you, Tom. but no, I mean, just imagine they go up for one, or even just take him at four, and he's having a great year and takes a big hit and is out for the year, and they have to deal with this quarterback injury carousel again, because it's not just the retread thing in that carousel. It's also avoiding having a quarterback that's going to be chronically injured. And Bryce Young would be one of the smaller quarterbacks in recent memory to be back there. So I just don't think from the Colts perspective, it'll happen. If it were me, I'd probably take the chance, but I don't think that's one that the Colts will be willing to take.
Yeah, I think that they're going to go. I think we talked about it before the show, is that it's really the CJ Stroud and the Will Levis sweepstakes. I think that, you know, when they do select, whether it's four, whether they trade up, I mean, it seems like one of those two guys is going to be able to do it. And obviously Will Levis has got the Will Levis and Richardson in his own right, really have the ceilings that are through the atmosphere. So I think it's definitely going to be either Stroud or Levis.
Yeah. And I think an interesting thing that I've heard a lot of people say recently, I don't know where it came from, but I just want to put it out there because I know a lot of people have been telling me, but apparently Peyton Manning really likes Will Levis too. So if Jim Irsay is the one making this quarterback pick, then there you go, right there. Will Levis is going to be the top guy. But no, I really do think it will come down to Stroud or Levis. I don't think that they're going to have Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson as like third round guys or second round guys or anything like that. But I do think they're going to have two guys clearly up top. You know, I think it's going to be those two. And honestly, I would say that it's almost certainly going to be CJ Stroud, just from, not from any sources or anything, just from what the Colts typically value in their players. And then you factor in the Big Ten thing, you factor in that Jim Irsay is going to be looking for a pocket passer with the production that CJ Stroud has. I do think that's going to be their top guy. But I really think, again, you can't go wrong with any of these quarterbacks. I like any of these guys, as long as you're, you know, putting them in the right system to succeed, which is the case for every draft prospect quarterback that we've ever had in the NFL. I do think there's a lot of things to like about each of these four guys, and it'll be fun to dissect their games of all these guys too, because I really do think there are a lot of pros and cons to each one of them.
Yeah, I agree. And Wyatt Law chimes in saying the AR-15 has the highest ceiling and the lowest four off the charts, or traits off the charts. I know a guy that loves them traits, and that is Chris Ballard. So that's, it's something to think about. But you're right. I think with Peyton Manning loving Will Levis, I think there was a video of them talking and Peyton kind of showing him some different drops at a camp, and that's what everyone is going after. I could be wrong, but that's what go. I've seen.
There you, we go. That's create, all you need. That's
you can create you anything from that, but it's going to be wild to see, because Will Levis hasn't officially accepted an invite to the Senior Bowl. But if he's at the Senior Bowl, we all know that Chris Ballard and this Colts front office loves guys that go to the Senior Bowl. He can really impress there. Otherwise, the combine's going to be here in Indianapolis. All of those guys are going to be here. All of them are going to meet with Chris Ballard and the staff. And then maybe not as much stock in the pro days, but it's really going to be in those meetings when you get the quarterbacks on the whiteboard, when you're talking to them in person, when Brian Decker is in the room with these guys breaking down what makes these guys really tick. That's going to separate the Stroud and Levis from each other, is what happens behind the scenes. And we all know about the famous story of when Peyton Manning was talking to Jim Irsay and Bill Polian and saying, if you don't pick me, then I'm going to make your life hell for 15 years and I'm going to beat you on the field. So is that going to happen this year? Is one of them going to say that? I don't know about that.
Stetson Bennett will say that for sure. Stetson Bennett will say, I will make you pay round. For the next year and a half where I'm on the Giants practice squad, I will make you pay. That's what he's going to tell us.
So I will say a big X factor in all this that none of us will know, something that's going to play a huge role, will be personal meetings, you know, and the Colts hosting them. I've heard so many things over the Chris Ballard tenure about how certain guys have just plummeted on boards based on meetings and such. And that's not stuff we're going to be able to see. Stuff we may hear about later. But if there's a guy that just seemingly should have been picked by them and isn't, there's a chance something happened behind closed doors. That is huge for the Colts organization, the unseen.
It goes the other way too. I can say fairly confidently that Sam Ehlinger was not a guy they originally had on their board. And then after they met with him a couple times and stuff like that, he flew up their board just because of how impressed they were in the meetings with him. So even like, you know, talent wise, he's not really there like most NFL quarterbacks, but they were so impressed with him as a person that they still took him in that sixth round, you know? So we'll see with these quarterbacks shuffling. They might have on the field, they might have Stroud, Young, Levis, Richardson. But then after the meetings at the combine or at the Senior Bowl with Levis, if he goes there, it might go Levis, Richardson, Stroud, Young, you know, like whatever, mm-hmm. You know, you never know how it's going to go. And that's not even saying that like, oh, this guy is just a community service guy, he's great. No, it's about how they answer the questions and how they perceive these guys work ethic and how they perceive these guys taking the steps to get better as NFL players. It doesn't really matter as much the off the field and the community stuff. It does matter, but it doesn't matter as much as where can we see this guy going and does his mindset lead to like make us think that he can get to where we want him to go. That's going to be a huge thing with this quarterback thing, because we've seen it with the Colts before. They value that, and they will move guys down the board, like Jake said, but they'll also move guys way up the board for, you know, positive off the field stuff and positive meetings in this offseason.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if you think, I know this is a bit of a, it's kind of going back in history a little bit, but the last three truly successful quarterbacks for the Colts, you got Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Philip Rivers, whose jersey is up there somewhere. I think it's over there. those were all very heady guys. Those were all leaders. Those guys were the guys that answered the right questions. They always took the blame. They were passionate, you know, in their own ways, and they all three were successful. So I think the Colts are going to definitely, like Jake said, be looking in those personal meetings for somebody that's got that X factor mentally. And then, like Zach said, it might shoot him right up the board from maybe a QB4 to a QB1. Who knows?
Stats Matt asking the hard hitting questions. Does Ballard hold the mayo in the coffee against Levis? Hey, that might make old Will Levis undraftable for Chris Ballard, depending on. I've also seen him eat a banana without peeling it too. That is
different. I mean, here's the thing. He's a football guy. He's just dudes being dudes or guys being dudes or whatever.
He's got that dog in him.
Yeah, you know, just smashes guys the beer dudes. Can. That's all it is. Yeah. Guys being dudes. Right. That's exactly what it is.
Need that quarterback. Need a guy like that.
Circle One Sports says Ballard's rigidness on high character, I think, devoids the selection of the best pure talent for the team. You don't necessarily have to. I mean, not the best guys in the NFL are bad guys. Most of them are good guys. And there's some that, when you actually know about their character, do you even want them being a part of your team? Most of the time, there was one wide receiver last year that we had talked about all the time about being on the Colts, and then we hear about some of the character issues that happen, and you don't really want him on your team anymore, regardless of how good he is. But I like this question by Colts loyalist here. Do you think no matter what, which quarterback is drafted will be the starter week one? Jake, I'll start with you and then we'll kind of go around. Do you think whoever the Colts do take at quarterback, are they going to be the starter week one?
You can't say regardless that's going to be the case, but I mean, for the most part, yeah. I think, you know, Young, Levis, and Stroud all have abilities that make them startable day one. But, you know, you look at Richardson, probably, like, maybe not super ready. But Zach and I did a whole episode most of an episode on this. You know, if you build a package, a really run heavy package for him, there's a way you could get Richardson ready from day one. You need insurance, obviously. You go get a backup like a Mike White, someone who's not going to threaten to be the starter, but has played before and is very capable of stepping in. But yeah, I imagine the guy they pick is going to be the day one starter.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel confident that the guy is going to be the day one starter, because I mean, Chris Ballard even said in his press conference the other day how they needed to do a better job of tempering expectations, which is a really fascinating thing to say for a GM at a press conference, that they needed to be better at not expecting playoffs or something, or not expecting to go deep in the playoffs. It's a really weird thing to say, but I think that was setting up for, hey guys, this next season, it might be another down season. We're going to be starting a rookie quarterback. We're going to be going through a head coaching change. We're going to be going through a big roster change probably as well. Maybe even some front office changes. They're probably not going to be this 10, 11, 12 win team next year. We might be lucky and they get like 8-9 next year if they really hit on this young quarterback, but we're probably going to be looking at, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 win team at best next year. And I think that's what Chris Ballard was kind of saying. You know, we're going to play this young kid. We're going to let the process play itself out, but we have to temper those expectations for this young quarterback that we're going to be throwing out there.
Well, and you know, you look back and you have the past two guys, and I don't mean to keep saying it, but when you did have Manning and you had Luck, you threw them out there. They both literally threw a touchdown and threw three interceptions. All right. You have to get that rookie quarterback out there enough of holding back enough of conservative, whatever mumbo jumbo BS. You need to get the guy out there, get him in rhythm, have him make mistakes early. He's going to learn by week 4 or 5. And you're just going to, if it's the right guy, you know, like Zach says, you'll start to see him progress more and more and start to get more accurate, more comfortable. And maybe even if it's Will Levis, you know, maybe even have a little more swag.
Last question before we get out of here. We're in the prediction business. Well, some of us are. So a lot of people making predictions out there about what's going to happen. So we're going to go around the horn. Start with you, Drake, my co-host on this show. Who is going to be the Colts head coach and the Colts starting quarterback week one of the 2023 season?
Are we going with what I think it'll be or what I want it to be?
What do you think?
That's a
good question. Prediction. What do you think?
I think, you know, honestly, I do think that probably Raheem Morris has impressed. I mean, he's impressed a lot of people. If I had to make an honest prediction, I would say it's going to be Raheem Morris, and I would say it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Raheem Morris and C.J. Stroud.
My heart. I love Raheem Morris so much. I would love to just be able to cover him. I don't think it's going to be Raheem Morris, though. Man, this is tough for head coach, because I think if we're up to purely Chris Ballard, I want to say Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson's the guy that Chris Ballard would pick. But I'm gonna have to try to think like Ursay. And I'm gonna go Eric Bieniemy as the head coach.
Oh no.
and CJ Stroud as the quarterback to start with.
You went 0 to 100 on that. Like, we just learned he was a candidate 20 minutes ago.
Here's what I think it's going to be. I really think when you look at the Eric Bieniemy thing, he's the rah-rah guy. He's that type of guy. The guy with, you know, a past, like just like Jim Irsay, again, very different past. I'm not trying to compare the two pasts, but guys who have kind of grown past that and definitely improved over the years and stuff like that. I think they're going to be able to relate to that. And I think, again, just that rah-rah football guy coming from Kansas City, Chris Ballard's close with him. I think that's going to be one where Irsay's like, yes, give me Bieniemy. And Ballard's like, you know what? Cool. I'm down with Bieniemy. That's just a pure prediction as of right now, because I didn't even know he was a candidate until this podcast started. But when I see it, I'm like, ah, oh, crap. There it is. There's the one.
All right. So mine, if you find it annoying how often Zach and I agree, you'll probably be annoyed by this as well. But I think it's, when I've just sat here and thought about it, and I've pictured what next year is going to be, it's Ben Johnson as the offensive or as the head coach and CJ Stroud at quarterback. I just see that fitting naturally. I think of Detroit's offense. I think of Stroud and Ohio State. I think Stroud is their quarterback one. That's just my gut feeling. And then Ben Johnson, I've heard that mentioned as a realistic candidate multiple times now from people in the know. So that's just my gut pick right there. Ben Johnson, CJ Stroud.
Man, Jake took mine. I was going to say, you know, the Dan Campbell connection, because I know Chris Ballard really likes Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell loves Ben Johnson. And I'm sure Ben Johnson is going to impress in interviews. And when you talk about what Ben Johnson was able to do with Jared Goff, well, who in this class has been compared to Jared Goff the most? CJ Stroud. So when you take a team like that has shown that they can run the ball, especially in the red zone, Chris Ballard has talked about how they can't capitalize in the red zone on offense and defense. Red zone's going to be a big part of this. Ben Johnson has been able to take that Lions offense and really capitalize in the red zone with a quarterback that might not be the most mobile, but he's deadly accurate and he can get the ball down the field just like CJ Stroud. So I'm thinking that when we're talking about Colts at Jacksonville week one, Ben Johnson is going to be calling plays for CJ Stroud as he goes out there, and hopefully we break the curse in Jacksonville. But hey, yeah, that's 9 months away from now. But hey, appreciate Jake and Zach coming along here to the Horseshoe Huddle podcast for our roundtable. Again, if you guys don't, go ahead and follow Jake at JakeArthurNFL. Zach is at ZachHicks2. Go ahead and follow Locked On Colts, the podcast that these guys do every day out there, just grinding away. You can follow Drake at DWallsterDrake. I'm at AndrewMooreNFL. And then go follow all of our things at Horseshoe Huddle. Like on Facebook, follow on Twitter at ColtsOnFN, subscribe to that YouTube and hit that bell so you know when we're going live, because we're going to have more guests. Jake and Zach are going to be back on here as we go along through this process, and it's going to be a fun time. So thanks again for everybody that came out and joined in the chat. Stats Matt, Wyatt Law, Taryn, Colts Loyalist, B-Ball, all of you guys. It was a lot of fun. And Drake and I will be back on Monday to talk some more Colts football with you. So we'll see you then.